Hey, Steel and Nazers, it's Magic Mike here. We got a new sponsor, Slight Edge
Fitness and Performance.
If you're looking to shed those extra quarantine pounds and get stronger, or you're an athlete looking to get a slight edge on your competition, we got the gym for you. Introducing Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, conveniently located on 101 French Ave in Braintree, Mass. Nice local gym. Slight Edge is offering individual, small group, and sports performance training in a private gym setting. And once again, it's by one of the best. Craig Kelly's been doing this for years. Great program over there. Slight Edge trainers will be sure to get your heart rate up, increase strength, and help you reach your fitness goals with a customized program. Find them on Instagram using the handle Slight Edge Fit. Give them a follow, or you can visit their website, slightedgefit.com, and set up a free strategy session while you're there. All the boys are going to be going into the gym very soon, and let's all look good this summer. Feel good, be great. Let it rip.
Welcome to Steel and Naz, Naz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast, now powered by Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. We're located in the heart of Quincy Center. Let's have a night, gentlemen. Joining us tonight, longtime Boston Globe Patriots beat writer, Jim McBride, came, you know, joined the boys to talk about the Patriots offseason moves and what's ahead in the upcoming 2021 draft. As, you know, we're all hoping for Jimmy Garoppolo, but who knows? Afterwards, the boys hit the diamond for our MLB preview. We have a wrap on UFC 260, and we'll have a whole lot more than that. How you guys think of the interview, guys?
Loved it. Loved it. Patriots inside. I got to get the goods. Draft's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the inside info. I mean, I wish I got a little more on the later draft. We got into a little bit more on the later parts of the draft of what Bill might do, because I bet he had some pretty good knowledge as he's following it, but I mean, I liked his take. He's probably going to be dead on about us taking a cornerback at 15 and
Richard Sherman.
Yeah, that was a trade for us, huh?
Let's go.
Don't give it all away.
We'll send it now. Boston Globe beat writer Jim McBride. We're now joined by longtime Boston Globe Patriots beat writer Jim McBride. Hey, Jim, how's it going today? What's been going on? I know with the busy free agency and you know, another pro days and everything like that. How's it going?
Yeah, it's busy. You know, last week was a really fun week with all the free agent signings. And then, you know, this week with the pro days and kind of tracking Bill and where all the Patriots staffers are. It's kind of the fun season.
Let me jump into, you know, kind of what everyone's been talking about in the town the last, I don't know, like 3 days. San Francisco trades up to the number 3 pick. Obviously want to take a quarterback, and now former Patriots QB Jimmy Garoppolo looks like he's on the trading block. They've said he hasn't been. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he's definitely on the trading block. You know, you don't give up 2 ones and a 3 to not draft your next franchise quarterback. And I think Shanahan was pretty open about that yesterday when he met with the media. So, you know, they have to try and keep their leverage a little. They're going to say Jimmy's their guy, and you know, he's the guy that's going to lead them this year. But, you know, if someone calls with a good deal, they're going to have to let him go, because, you know, you're not going to keep a third overall pick on the sidelines for very long, especially if it's a guy that you really think is the next guy. You know, there's no sense wasting a year of your control of his contract by letting him sit. So I would expect Jimmy's going to get moved at some point. I don't know if it's going to be to the Patriots. I'm sure, you know, it's a natural connection to draw because of the history there. But, you know, at some point, the Patriots' salary cap is going to run out of money.
Oh, yeah. It seems like it's never ending. Yeah.
A question, though, there is, you know, say the Patriots are interested. What type of offer do they make? Is 15 overall included? Now that, you know, Mac Jones rumors are going 3, which is surprising, you know, it drops Lance, it drops Fields, it drops a couple of those big-name quarterbacks that maybe could land at 15. Is there one that you would want, you know, coming to the Patriots? Would you prefer, you know, them trading for Jimmy, or how do you see, you know, Bill kind of maneuvering that, you know, and them just drafting a linebacker or moving back a couple rounds?
Yeah, I think, you know, they certainly would be interested in making a move for Jimmy. I don't think it'll be the number 15 pick. I mean, they, you know, you remember they only got a second rounder for him. They're not going to turn around and true, you know, trade him the 15th overall pick for Jimmy at this point, especially knowing that San Francisco lost a lot of its leverage by making that trade last week and kind of making it be known that, you know, they're picking a quarterback. So I would say probably no more than a third rounder. I know that sounds low to some people, but you know, you got to remember the salary they're going to have to take on. They're going to have to renegotiate that salary. So probably a third rounder would max for me. Now, maybe they move it up to a second rounder if they think that none of those quarterbacks that they've targeted are going to be there at 15. And if that's the case, you know, I think they, you know, it's possible they go linebacker, maybe Micah Parsons from Penn State. But, you know, I think maybe one of their targets is going to be a cornerback. And, you know, obviously the Patriots have a loaded secondary right now. But you look at the end of next year, Steph Gilmore's last year under contract. Uh-huh. J.C. Jackson's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. They could be looking at a situation where they need to replace both their starting quarterbacks at the end of the season. And having a, you know, having a guy like Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn from South Carolina fall to them at 15, I think they'd have to take a serious look at that.
So going into this offseason, obviously the Patriots needed a lot of different moves, you know, better their team, you know, overall record-wise. One of them was a quarterback. I mean, saw you break the news of the Patriots re-signing Cam Newton. I was surprised by it. I'm sure everyone sitting at this table right now was surprised by it. Were you surprised by it? And what do you think the reason for the signing re-signing was?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by it. You know, it was kind of a quiet Friday morning, just pouring my coffee, and I heard from a source that that was happening. So I was a little surprised that it happened that fast. I thought maybe they were going to wait closer to the draft to see what kind of you know, other guys might be out there or other possibilities. But I do remember at the end of last season, Cam saying that one of his big regrets last summer was waiting so long to sign a free agent contract and that he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that the Patriots put an offer on the table and maybe it wasn't the greatest offer, I think he's guaranteed $3.5 to $5 million with a possibility of making 14. Now, if he makes $14 million, everyone at that table is going to be pretty happy because that means he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, hell of a year.
he hit every single incentive in his contract. So I think the reason for that was, you know, twofold. It benefits Cam because he's back in a system where he thinks he likes, but he didn't really get a chance to show everything last year. Still kind of rehabbing that shoulder injury. I think you're going to see a better Cam this year. I think from the Patriots' perspective, now they've got a guy in place when they went on the recruiting trail last week and the week before for free agents. You know, I don't think you want to go to Jonnu Smith or to Nelson Aguilar and tell them, you know, your quarterback is Jarrett Stidham and Jake Dolagala.
That's bad.
Point, now you go to the agents. We have Cam in place and there's other guys in the pipeline. So it was a win-win, especially at that salary.
I got to piggyback that question too. So you broke the news of Cam Newton. So how does it feel like beating like a guy like Adam Schefter to the punch of like breaking news? Is there any bit of like extra satisfaction? Is there any bit of like charisma to that?
Yeah. you know, when a guy like Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport has to chase your story for a change, yeah, it's a really good feeling. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's one of the reasons you get into this business, to break stories. And, you know, moments like that are huge. You see your phone blowing up all day long and, you know, It's a really good feeling.
Yeah. Did you have to mentally prepare for the backlash of saying Cam Newton was coming back? Because that was clearly not what everyone wanted. for the most part.
Yeah. The mentions were pretty cruel that day. Cam didn't get a lot of love on my timeline. But, in that situation, I'm just the messenger.
I feel you.
So are we officially out on Stidham? Or, you know, is there a chance, you know, he develops into something? He's the next guy after Cam? You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say officially out. You know, I think that Jared has a lot of tools. I think that one of the things that people forget is that, you know, this guy was a backup for the last 2 years, both times to MVPs. You backed up Tom Brady as a rookie. You backed up Cam Newton last year. Mm-hmm. I think maybe last year's training camp or last year's offseason before they signed Cam in early July, I think everyone assumed that Jared was the guy. And I think maybe he did, too. And when camp opened, when they signed Cam, I don't think Jared went into that with particularly the best attitude of, well, now I got to compete. I think he kind of said, oh, well, the quarterback's Cam, and now I have to compete for the backup job. I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen him compete a little harder. And then that first week of camp, he had a hip injury, and that set him back. That really hurt in a truncated camp and a virtual offseason. To not have those snaps as the number one guy, that really hurts. And the Patriots had to make a decision. You know, we have so few camp snaps and no preseason games. We got to go with the guy who's clearly the number one at this point because, it, you know, by default more than anything. So I think Jarrett will come in and get another opportunity to compete, unless things drastically change in the next couple of weeks, and he's part of a package for a quarterback trade. Maybe he's part of the Jimmy G deal, and they need a backup there, or some other veteran gets traded. But I like what I've seen from his Instagram post the last month or so out on the West Coast. I think his teammates really like him; they respect him. Right now, you got to figure he's coming in to compete and certainly be the 1A to Cam's 1.
So there's been so many off-season acquisitions, which is a huge surprise to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots a couple of weeks back. So what I really took away from it, getting big guys like Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry to really refill that tight end core. What was really the most impressive, acquisition to you when, maybe even one that, we kind of look at a guy and, your average football fan doesn't even know the guy, but, there's more to read in that person.
Yeah, two surprises. Not surprised that they signed Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry. Surprised that they signed both of them.
Yeah, that's true.
To go out and get the top two tight ends on the market, I didn't see that coming. I knew they were going to be a player for one of those guys. And, Bill's had a long history with Hunter Henry. So, I was kind of surprised the first day they went after Jonnu Smith. And then, the next morning you wake up and they're going after Hunter Henry too. So, good move there. Obviously signals that they want to do more 12. Personnel packages, something that Josh really loves and Bill has really loved. You think about the history of the tight end in this offense, going back to the Daniel Graham and Ben Watson, Watson in his prime, not the guy from 2 years ago.
Right.
Maybe you guys are too young to remember that group, but
I just remember him running all the way to get Champ Bailey there. That was a big play.
Top tackle. Yeah. Maybe
that was nice.
Probably his signature moment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. So let me bring it back to a career question. So when was the first year you covered the Patriots? Not to make you feel old or anything.
So this is it's my 31st year at the Globe, but it's my 8th year covering the Patriots.
Oh, 8th year covering the Patriots. Okay. So my question here was, what's the difference now from the first question you ever asked Bill Belichick to present day when you ask a question?
So I went in kind of raw. I remember asking a question at the first press conference that I was at, Bill, and I asked about an injury. I asked about Julian Edelman was injured at the time. I can't remember what injury it was. I didn't really get a very good answer.
Because, of course. You're not the only one, brother.
Yeah, he's pretty tight-lipped when it comes to injuries. But the one thing about Coach Belichick is if you come to a press conference and you've done your homework and you've asked a really good football question, you're going to get a really good football answer. And you're going to get, if you come in there asking, about a guy's injury and if a guy's going to play this week, that's when you're going to get a very curt
shunned. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a word.
Now his press conferences on Friday morning, this last season, notwithstanding, because everything was virtual, but they would be very early in the morning, like 7 o'clock, and there'd only be a few of the hardcore beat writers that would attend. And he always respected that. And if you were there, and you asked a kind of a historical question, it was like being in a football history class in high school. It was fantastic. Sometimes by the end, you thank God you had your tape recorder running because you forget to take notes because you were so enraptured by the answer that you were given and the knowledge. It was amazing. So you get what you give with Bill. If you do your homework, you're going to get a good mark.
switching gears here. So going from New England to Tampa. First of all, I kind of want to hear what you thought when Tom Brady made the move down there. And then, seeing him do not really unthinkable since he had 6 going on 7, but, defeating New Orleans, going on the road, being Green Bay, and then beating Pat Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champions in the Chiefs. Just about Tom Brady and, even Gronk, the run of, winning number 7.
Yeah, who would have thought that Tyler Haneke would have given him his toughest playoff game, right?
Yeah, living legend.
Going back to last St. Patrick's Day when Tom announced that he was leaving, that was a pretty bad day around here. Would you say that was the day?
Oh, that was one of the worst days ever.
I wanted to kill myself.
And we didn't have Tom Brady. I was one of those people that were in denial, covering Tom and talking to him, plenty of times over the last 7 years or so. I didn't see him being in any other uniform. And what I kick myself with now is seeing all the kind of the signs on the wall that it was going to be his last year and just not believing it. Like, he would never talk about his future beyond that year during training camp that year. And that's something he always did. And it was just, you just kind of got this, you know, as I look back on it, you got this feeling that, yeah, maybe he's not going to be here. And then, you know, getting that call on that morning, I think it was a couple of minutes before he actually tweeted that he was going to do that. Yeah, it was stunning. But not stunning to see him go down there and turn that program around. You know, of course, I think Gronk had a lot of help and Leonard Fournette had a lot to do with that. But, you know, he's the greatest recruiter in the NFL. And he's the reason why a lot of guys came to New England to try and chase championships.
Yes, save the Antonio Brown's career.
Now. So not surprised to see him have the success he's had. And, you know, they're going to be right back there again this year.
Yeah, they got everyone back without fail. So. Jesus.
It's tough to repeat. It certainly is. But,
that's why I'm a Tampa Bay fan now. I don't know about you. But it's not too late, Jim.
So how many of the Patriots Super Bowls have you covered now? So you said 8 years, so that has to be at least five, right?
Yeah, so I was at, I think it's three, actually. It's the, it was the my first one was the Falcons, mm-hmm. and then they lost to the Eagles, and then they beat the Rams. So
okay.
You know, I've been to the last seven Super Bowls, but only three of them were the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
I got to see the original victory against the Rams as a fan in the stands. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
That's nice.
That's a great ticket.
So that helps my question a little bit. I was going to say, what's the best Super Bowl, I guess, you've been to or covered? I mean, the Falcons one kind of steals it, but, you know, you can go back to your 01 if you want.
Yeah, well, you know, being a fan, it was great at that first Rams one because really, you know, 14-point underdogs, nobody really gave them a chance. But yeah. Professionally, it was definitely the Falcons one, even though it probably took 3 or 4 years off my life that night.
Oh my boy!
Seven different versions of my story being written at the same time. You know, I had them dead and buried. I basically had them writing an obit for the season.
I was going to say, were you a part of that headline, like the famous headline of like him falling? Because you guys had to send out like a copy, like before halftime or something for like the.
Yeah, so that's funny. That paper never said that the Patriots lost the game. because it was just a headline that said bitter end, and it only went to the Fort Myers market because back then we used to send papers down to Fort Myers every day because the Sox were in spring training.
Oh, that's true.
So many Globe readers that wanted the Globe down there at the time, so that's why we had this, you know, ridiculously early deadline to get the papers on the plane. So that thing went to print at like halftime, so there was no story in the paper that said the Patriots lost the game. It was just that headline that kind of gave that, you know, perception. But it makes for a good, you know, I know Tom Brady has that framed in his house.
He tweets
it out every April Fool's Day. So he's had some good fun with it. But, yeah, it was I had them dead and buried in that game in my story. And then Hightower makes the strip sack on Matt Ryan. And I remember just looking at my colleagues and saying, well, this game's over now. They got to win.
Yeah, you knew right away.
Throwing this page out.
Even though, like, the two-point conversions to me were, like, the biggest thing. Like, they'll win if they get these. You kind of had a feeling, like, things just started turning around with, like, 2 minutes there left in the third quarter.
Yeah. It's funny. Even NFL Network did a special on the writers, myself and a couple other guys, including a couple of Atlanta guys, about just what it was like to go through that night. So that was pretty, once in a while I catch it on NFL Network and I always laugh about it. So
nice.
It was a fun night.
One question that I've asked every kind of football writer we've had on here. Allen Robinson, do we have a shot still?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Allen would like to get out of Chicago. He was probably wishing that they were going to get Russell Wilson more than anyone, right?
Not the red 100%. Rifle, that's for sure.
But what did he signed the franchise tag? Is that right? It was like $18 million.
Maybe I just think he wants out. I mean, how many times can a player that talented have to play through Trubisky, through Mike Stanton? I think or just through the hell he's been. Just I guess Cam Newton's not much better. How many touchdown passes did he have last year? But
not enough.
Eight. I mean,
single digits. Anyway.
I just want him. I think he's just a phenomenal player. I don't know. Just get him out of Chicago. It doesn't even have to be the Patriots.
Yeah, save the kid.
Sounds like a fantasy guy scoring.
How'd you know?
You know as well.
Great call.
I'll move back on this year's team. So we kind of talked about it earlier with the corners. How do you think they'll move forward with Stephon Gilmore? You think they're going to renew a contract? You think they're going to push a trade, or you think he's going to let it ride?
Yeah, I think all offers are on the table. You know, Steph last year got. You know, people talked about him getting a raise, and he really didn't get a raise last year. What the Patriots did was they moved up some of his money from this year's contract and paid him more market value, which knocked down the contract value this year. $7 million, I think, which is, you know, for the guy that was Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago is a bargain. So I could see him signing an extension here to lower his cap number going forward, but I could also see them entertaining trade offers. I mean, maybe he's the guy. Here's a wild one for you. Maybe he's the guy that they trade for Garoppolo, and then the Patriots go out and sign Richard Sherman, who's a free agent.
I would love that.
I'd love that all day.
I wish you the GM. Yeah.
Good.
Would you guys take that, Jimmy G and Richard Sherman, basically for
pretty Steph much? Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. Love the way Sherman plays.
Is Gilmore enough for an expensive quarterback? I mean. They have a rookie quarterback that would be taking over. So really, you're not a contender right away. So why trade for Gilmore there? Unless you know you have him locked up. I guess I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Patriots would have to renegotiate Garoppolo's contract, and that might be just part of the
it might be almost a salary dump. I guess yeah.
Yeah, that might be what they say to San Francisco. Look, this is what you get because we've got a lot more work to do with this guy. Than you do with that guy.
With Richard Sherman, though. Like, that's the prime example for, like, hate the guy when he's not on my team. If he's on my team, I'm all in.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there like that.
For sure. So, you know, the question we all want to, like, get to is the NFL draft coming up. We got pick number 15. Don't know what we're going to do with it, so I want to put you on the spot here. You know, figuratively, obviously, gun to your head, who are you picking? Pick 15.
So, if there's in a non-trade scenario,
yeah,
I think the Patriots take J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina.
Solid player.
Sounds right.
Yeah, solid player. Not the sexiest pick. I know people want a quarterback, but I just don't think any of those top five guys that, you know, pretty much everyone thinks are the top five guys will be there at 15.
It's sounding like there's four, like the first four picks could be all quarterbacks.
They could be, you know. I mean, and I've heard rumors that the you know, people are talking about trading with the Falcons because the Falcons don't need a quarterback right away, but they're going to, you know. So can they wait another year before they pick Matt Ryan's successor? Maybe they're a team to trade up to, and at that point, you know, I think Jones, Fields, and Trey Lance are all in play at number four. I mean, they're not all going to be there. But one of those three guys, if you've identified one of those three guys or any of those three guys as someone you think you can work with, then it's probably worth trading up for.
Have you looked, you know, you're following in all, you know, the stories and whatnot. Have you kind of looked in and do you have a favorite of the, you know, the those three top guys after Lawrence of, you know, someone that you would prefer the Patriots to get if that were to happen?
Yeah, I really like Mac Jones. I watched him I got to go to the Senior Bowl practices this year, and I know the huge knock on him was that he had so much talent around him in Alabama, and that's certainly true. He did, but I love the way he came into the Senior Bowl and took control of the offense, devoured that professional playbook. I think it was the Carolina Panthers playbook that he had, and really was the best quarterback of the bunch. Working with a bunch of guys that he didn't know before that day because Jaylen Waddle and Devonta Smith didn't participate in the Senior Bowl. And even though Najee Harris was on the roster, he didn't play either. So I thought his, you know, his ability to come in there and be a leader, his timing, his accuracy, his anticipation, and his intelligence. You guys may or may not have heard this story that, you know, Bill O'Brien, the old Texans coach, is now the Alabama defensive coordinator. When he got hired, Saban told him to go to Mac Jones to learn the offense. So when the quarterback is teaching a guy like Billy O'Brien the offense, and Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator here when Josh McDaniels was in Denver. So a pretty smart guy himself. And they're asking this kid to teach him the offense. So I think that bodes well for his intelligence. So
That's such a Saban thing. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm really intrigued by Trey Lance's athleticism, but I think Mac Jones would be the guy that could come in and be the natural fit right away.
I was going to say, that's such a Saban thing to do. Just like, oh, you want to learn the offense? Go learn it from him. I'm doing something else.
Yeah, go to my plan.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's why they win.
So we kind of talked about it earlier in the early in our conversation here. So you saw Shanahan, Lynch, McDaniels, and Belichick all talking today on live TV. Anything to make of that? Anything, you know, gets this pot rolling of, you know, the Garoppolo talk? And, you know, it's buzzing right now. I've heard it all over, you know, sports radio, everything like that.
Right. If Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't mentioned multiple times in those conversations, I'd be stunned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
certainly they've talked about it. You know, it really all depends. You know, a lot of times these things are smoke screens. You know, I've also heard that that Shanahan loves Justin Fields. So this could be to get everyone thinking that they're thinking of Fields. So you just never know. So many strange things happen. You know, I've covered the combine for the last 7 years, and I think every guy I've talked to, every prospect, when I say, have you met with the Patriots, they say yes. Those guys never get picked by the Patriots.
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's always the total opposite, yeah.
Right. So the fact that you know, Josh and Bill were both there to see Mac Jones, that could be a smokescreen too. They might be, you know, they might be enamored with someone else, or they might be enamored with someone else on that Alabama campus. You know, maybe with two strapping tight ends and Cam Newton as your quarterback, they go after Najee Harris, and then they have a backfield with Damian Harris, Tony Michel, and Najee Harris, and they're just going to run the ball
Smith,
down.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's always a guessing game. And if anyone tells you they have the answers before draft night,
they
either work for the Patriots or they're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, make sure you get your sources ready. Yeah. It's time for you to break some more news first.
Yeah. My last question here. So Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visit the New England Patriots this year at Gillette Stadium. Just any thoughts on that? And obviously it's a homecoming. He played 20 years here, won 6 Super Bowls. How do you think that's going to go down? And, like, you know, it's going to be obviously Brady chants, and, you know, there's going to be people that are on his side. You know, people, you know, I kind of hate the naysayers saying he shouldn't have done that. But what's your take on, you know, him coming back to Gillette next season?
I think it'll be the hottest ticket in the history of Gillette Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
for first of all. And second of all, I think that he's going to get so much love during the pregame of that game when he comes out for his warmups. You know, I don't think they'll be playing Jay-Z for him like they normally did back then. But, you know, he's going to get a lot of love, and probably right before the game. And I think once the game starts, you're going to see the Patriots, like, fans start to root for the Patriots because that's their team. So it'll be a really fun night. But I still think, you know, Patriots fans, for the most part, once the game gets kicked off, they're going to want to see their team win. And as much as they love Tom, they want to see him be a loser that night.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes.
It's like playing any one of your friends like back in the day in high school or something like that. You know, you shake hands, you say, oh, how's that everything going? But then when the game starts, you know, you get down to it and you want to kick their ass.
Yep, cheer out of the gate.
Yeah, my son played hockey at Quincy High, but some of his best friends played for North. So, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so, you know,
we're all Quincy guys here, so that's actually that's good news.
Yeah, he graduated in 14, I think. No, 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
I graduated 2012, so I played for Teddy there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Coach Ross. Yep. My son Seamus was the captain in 20.
Oh, really? No. Wow. Small world. It's funny we get to that at the end of the conversation.
He scored 2 goals against North on senior night. So.
Oh, that's what it's all
there
about.
There it goes.
He still talks about that. He's a senior in college now, but he still talks about
that. Oh, nice. I think I lost 5-1 and I broke my stick over the boards before I left on my senior night. Jim, I'll let
it's
you go.
A memory.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, really appreciate you coming on, and best of luck with everything. I know you'll be busy going forward.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Boston Globe Patriots beat writer Jim McBride. You know, I thought he gave a lot of good insight on the draft there, you know, talking about, you know, how Jimmy Garoppolo is almost a sure thing of going. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And then this little tidbit about how he's from Quincy at the end of the conversation.
From the clouds. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I was like, Teddy Walsh? Teddy Ballgame? That's right. What'd you think about it, Anton?
Who are you texting, your broads?
Shout out Seamus McBride with the yeah, two goals
on senior night. Let's ride. We'll
give you a shout out, Seamus. Maybe come on here one day.
I wish we had a little more. I like to talk to him a little longer. You know, he's a busy man.
Well, he had to get to WEEI. Yeah.
I know. I really wanted to pick his brain. Those type of people that you don't get to talk to often. I really like to kind of get into the information.
I thought you got a fair amount of questions off. Yeah. I thought you got it rolling.
But I like to talk season of his life. If you haven't noticed. Yeah.
I wish I had a couple more minutes with him. I had a couple more things I wanted to ask.
Where's the best place to go buy a Winnebago?
I don't know if he'd know that. But sure.
What type of taco apparel?
If I had a time of his to waste, I would have fucking wasted it well. But shout out Jim. Good guy.
All right, so we'll switch from the gridiron on to the ball field here. As you know, the MLB is set for opening day on April 1st, which that is on Thursday. We're recording on Tuesday today. You know, a lot of things locally in terms of the Boston Red Sox to talk about. But, you know, this is such a different season than last season. Last season was 60 games. You know, you kind of saw just a small sample size of a couple teams. And thank God the season didn't go on for the Red Sox. I know.
Small sample size. The Red Sox fucking suck.
Terrible.
Well, no, I knew that. I'm not saying that, but there's a lot of teams there where, you know, if you play 100 more games, who knows where you're at. I know the Red Sox were down, but.
He's right.
The Red Sox had 100 losses last season.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Maybe more, yeah.
Maybe more.
I really wish they would stick to this short season. I don't know.
I'm like the short season.
Too short.
I hate it. All records are now gone, and the history of baseball is over.
When you have a shitty baseball team, you just want the season to end.
No, you could take it down from 162, but they took it like it was like 60. That was too far.
For some reason, I know they just won in like 2018, but I'm starting to feel like the Red Sox, I feel like I'm like a New York Jets fan or something.
See, like, that's like relax, buddy.
They must suck. I don't know. I don't know about that.
But the problem is with baseball is their offense has been like tremendous. Even like when they've sucked, they've just had zero pitching, and they're like, oh yeah, no, let's just build prospects. So let's not get any of these pitchers that are on sale. Like let's get it done. See what I did there, Sal.
Well, all right. One, you brought in a former Rays, you know, front office man to be your GM. What the fuck do you expect?
Yeah.
Well, he finally has big bucks now, unlike you have down in the crop.
Yeah.
And he decides not to do anything.
Dombrowski also gave away every fucking thing you have to be a loser. Team.
Our big signing of the offseason was Kiki Hernandez. He was like the ninth hitter.
No, he wasn't.
The Dodgers.
No, he wasn't.
Who was the big one then?
Garrett Richards. I bet
Garrett Richards.
He will be your best pitcher this season, I guarantee.
And that's not going to say anything.
Best pitcher to like, I don't know, maybe like May when his arm goes down, because that's just what he does.
I mean, if he goes down, but if he's healthy, I mean.
Don't wish it upon the guy. Don't wish
Corey
it upon
Kluber
guy.
And Jameson Taillon. The guy.
My guy.
This is who they have for the starting five pitches. They have Nathan Eovaldi, the opening day starter, because Eduardo Rodriguez is injured. Nathan Eovaldi, he'll be injured next. He's the fourth, like on a good team, he's the fourth starter. Like,
no business.
He throws absolute gas.
He is, yep. So, like, does anyone else in the league?
He shouldn't be near opening day.
Your guy, Anton, Garrett Richards, number two. I think he's like a five on anyone else.
He's a great pitcher. He just gets hurt.
Martin Perez was the borderline best pitcher last year. These are all fives. Nick Pavetta, I think he's had a good spring training.
He was so he played for the Phillies, and he was supposed to be a very good pitcher. Another injury. This is just an injury. This staff literally
could
just,
go down.
Like in their first week. Like, wow. This is almost injury.
Well, the one I'll have you look at the guy, Tanner Houck.
Oh, he's a reliever, though.
No, they have him in the starting rotation. I think he's going to start. They're planning on him to start.
I mean, he's meant to be a reliever.
He should be, but he's got really good stuff. You know, he's got a live arm.
He throws 93, 94. I know him.
I know, local guy. I'm trying to talk about it.
Good guy, local guy.
Yeah. Sounds like we got a shit starting five rotation.
Yeah, Tanner Houck.
I might have to make a comeback.
That's what I'm saying. And then you have like Chris Sale, who knows when he'll be ready. But I think they should make him. This is me talking to the Red Sox like ownership management. You should make him into a reliever, like an Andrew Miller type, because he's never going to start a full 162 ever again. Like, that guy's arm is toast.
Closer. Like, if you think he's coming in for just like the seventh inning, like, that guy's a maniac. Like, he's got to be nine.
No, I think he could be like seven and eight.
I think he would hate that. Like, I think that would drive him nuts.
Well, that's the only thing he has to offer right now. Since he can't stay healthy.
Chris Sale's so fucking likable. As a Red Sox hater, and I'm trying to be biased here. I'm trying to say Garrett Richards is good. I'm trying. I mean, I'm trying. But yeah. I like Chris Sale. Chris Sale is very likable, and he is a psycho. And
well, you know what? There's a couple of these guys too who I look, and I'm kind of the guy they got from the Yankees, Adam Ottavino.
He's filthy.
I think he's going to be really good. The guy that came from Asia over there, Hirokazu Sawamura, he's looked really good in spring training.
He just looked really good. Reach, brother, reach for it.
Is this what they're all doing? Is this what you guys are talking about?
That's not, I'm just saying,
compliment Naz just knocking that fucking pronunciation out of the park.
I'm just saying, at least that was good.
Darwin Hernandez
has been like a flamethrower. At least he's like this bullpen looks way more promising than they've had in the last two seasons. Like that's not saying a thing.
No, that's nothing. Yeah.
But at least it's something.
Colton Brewer pitching like fucking 60 appearances.
Adam Ottavino is like by far a filthier pitcher than anyone you've thrown out in like innings 6 through 9 the last 2 years.
I hope he does terrible.
Wait for Hirokazu.
He's a Yankees
What's
guy.
His nickname? It's going to be Hero or something, right?
I don't know, but it's probably awesome.
Ottavino's pitched in Colorado and Yankee Stadium, like probably the two hardest places to pitch.
He throws absolute junk. He's awesome. Like, it's nuts.
Can you go through our starting nine?
The starting nine I'll go through. Okay, so catcher Christian Vasquez, who's going to be the starter. He's solid.
He's a catcher. Yeah.
Solid behind the dish. His bat's been way more, you know, on the hot streak than the colder one. When you're talking about catchers in the MLB, there's a shitstorm of horrible hitters.
Yes, he's fine.
Next one, this is like my bright spot of the entire segment here. Bobby Dalbec hits 35 home runs. That will happen.
That's just the guy. Fucking lie.
250 strikeouts.
I think
35.
He's in the top 10 contention of rookie of the year. I wouldn't say that's
there's a reason why I love Mitch Moreland. There's a reason why all these guys, they didn't want to pick up a first baseman because they know this guy's the future.
They have Tristan Casas. He's going to be the fucking future of first base.
We'll see about that.
I'm right.
Second base, Kiki Hernandez, who's had a dynamite spring training. I mean, spring training, let's be honest, Dale, what is it for?
Losers.
Yeah, exactly.
Kiki's.
But, you know, he's coming off a World Series championship, has had a good spring training, but, yeah, it's for losers. I think this is a good second base here instead of trying to, you know, platoon Michael Chavis around where, you know what, he's starting to see that he doesn't really have a spot on this team, and I don't know what they're going to do with Chavis there.
I mean, well, Kiki's a guy you don't really know what you get because he didn't really do much. Like, he was just a fill-in type of guy on the Dodgers.
He's
Dodger.
A utility guy, too, yeah.
Yeah, he was like
their so stacked that he kind of had to be.
Like, he was like their Brock Holt or something like that, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, but the Dodgers, again, are, like, so stacked that, like, Kiki can be a regular.
That's with the Red Sox, too, because, I mean, you're a Rays, you're a Yankees fan. Yeah, their pitching's awful, but their hitting's always, like, spot on.
Yeah.
They have a great line. Like, go down this list. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, you don't even talk about those guys. Those guys are studs. Those guys are worth the money. Those guys are worth paying. And then utility guys, they have Marwin Gonzalez, who was very exceptional player on the Houston Astros.
He's another, like,
he played for the Twins last year, right?
Yeah. So he cashed in on a big contract, didn't have a trash can to hear, and sucked.
Sucked, yeah.
and the guy that I heard, I know I use this little, like, comparison metaphor type of thing, but when they traded Benintendi to get Franchi Cordero.
All right. If you're a Red Sox fan and you don't want to, and you're tired, bet him to lead the American League in home runs.
You thought 35 home runs from Dalbec was crazy? You are insane.
No.
Yeah, what's that? Like, you're saying bet on that? Like, what is that like?
I'm saying he can hit 40. I'm saying at great odds. Addicted to value, boys.
Yeah, that's like, what's
this guy's name?
Franchi Cordero.
It's like that.
He's actually hit some bombs.
Chris Carter hitting 40 home runs, batting like 160.
That's what you're betting. I'm not saying it's going to happen. The odds are probably ridiculous. I'm just saying if you're a Red Sox fan.
Value.
Yes, we are addicted to value.
And then to end the outfield, Alex Verdugo, who had a good season last
year. Yeah, he's fine.
I think he's real fine. I think he's kind of a substitute for Benintendi, you know, lefty in the outfield, you know, very
skipper?
Athletic in right field. Welcome back, Alex Cora.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cheating scum. He's back.
And then Hunter Renfro, we took him for the Berets. Screw you. You know, he's a good He's a good like 5-6 guy in the lineup where, you know, he'll give you like 25 ding dongs.
Yeah, he's a good player. He didn't fit solid. In.
This team can be good if the pitching just
if the pitching proves
if it comes out of fucking nowhere and just does good. I don't see why not. Yeah,
we'll hop on to one of their teams. I'll end with like my record prediction. It's going to come down to the pitching, like Magic Mike just said. This offense might be one of the best in all of baseball, but it's not going to matter if you don't have anyone throwing the damn ball. I think this team finishes with like 80 wins.
Well, no, quick. They need to be ready to pull triggers on.
But you have teams like
the thing is the NL is so much better than the AL this year. It's not even fucking funny.
Wildly,
I think like, the AL East is stacked though. I think the Rays are going to be back. I think the
AL East is stacked. That's why I think the Red Sox
the,
come
the
in
Blue
fourth
Jays
place.
Are going to be with all the guys they just picked up, Blue George Springer and stuff, and then the Yankees will be at the top, but they'll choke in the playoffs again.
I don't even think it's a guarantee that the Yankees are first place. I think the Blue Jays are the team to beat.
We'll see. I'll never admit that the Blue Jays are first place in anything until it actually happens.
The most confusing move of the offseason was Marcus Semien there going to a Blue Jays infield that has Bichette, has Vlad Guerrero.
No room for him.
Biggio.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. But
they are fluid with it, though. They move them around.
It's going to be crazy to watch that lineup. They're young and good.
I was not happy when they got George Springer. That sucks. That was huge.
How are the Yankees going to be?
Yankees are going to be fantastic. You guys think, but pitching, my 2 through 5 pitchers threw 18 pitches last year combined. Pitches. So we'll see how it goes.
and you might be in more trouble than the Sox with that.
No, my pitches are better. Like when they come back, though.
Tanaka went to Japan.
Yeah, Tanaka's gone. Exactly.
They got Taillon.
So basically,
it's Kluber, Taillon, Domingo Germán, Jordan Montgomery until Severino comes back, which is like middle of the year.
Devi. Is Devi hurt?
They optioned him just down. He'll probably be up once Jordan Montgomery sucks. And
they want to give him that. What they just did, the Cubs did to Horner there. You sit them down for a couple days.
Yeah.
Till their years, so you can keep a year on their arbitration or
there
whatever.
There is no J-Hap, though, so things are looking up. Oh. That's how I feel.
Jameson Taillon, if he's like somehow comes back to like when he was supposed to be super good.
Dude, if I get
cancer,
like.
Which sucked. He was a phenomenal player. And then he came back, still pitched well, got it again. And now he's, if he comes back,
hell of a story.
He's a
hell
beast.
Of a story.
So the Yankees looking good once again, and the Red Sox are again fighting with Baltimore to see who finishes in the cellar.
The Rays did lose Morton. The Rays did lose Snell. I'm not gonna ignore that.
Yeah, but you guys always have some little motherfucker coming out of the
bar. The guy who's my favorite player in all of baseball, who stole Major League Baseball by storm last October. My boy Randy.
How are the Rays going to be this year? They lost Blake Snell for obvious reasons. And Morton.
Yeah.
I like the lineup. We have they're literally the greatest prospect in baseball. Maybe making an appearance this year, maybe next. Wander Franco. He's been 80 graded at single A, the first one to do that ever on
prospects. Prospects.
Anton picked up a nice Luciano.
Marco Luciano. He's 17. But
where did Charlie Morton go?
Braves. Don't forget NL's about them over there. Don't forget about them over there in the NL.
No, but I think the Dodgers are so freaking good.
Oh yeah, the Padres, they're hot in the streets, but like the Braves, pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good team.
The Cardinals, they got Arenado.
Arenado Goldschmidt is a hell of a like 2-3 or 3-4.
It's insane. But yeah, I mean, I think the Rays will. We'll do the thing. I don't want to get too over cocky. I mean, we still have Glasnow, who's an absolute beast. Minus, still got the biggest screw drop of the Houston Astros series. I'll never get over that.
Yeah, Blake Snell. Losing Blake Snell is tough, too.
I'm not worried about him. we got Michael Walker. We have like Chris Archer's back.
Oh, you got Walker?
Yeah.
Was he there last year, too?
No.
Oh, nice. That's a good pickup.
Chris Archer's back. We have the Milton man, Rich Hill.
Oh, wow.
That's a hysterical pitching staff.
The Rays pick up guys from, like,
Indians
in, like, Major League. Like, you don't hear a thing about it, but, like, they're just there. I did not hear about the Rich Hill thing at all.
Yeah.
So, Rich Hill Milton?
It's also because, like, you on Twitter or something, you see Tampa Bay Rays, just kind of, like, keep scrolling.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not. It's not like what it once was. I Glasnow was always the best of the three. Morton pitched. I don't think Morton is going to be good, as good. I mean, Houston cheats with their pitchers. So that's why he was kind of so good. And then the Rays are just a fantastic organization. That's why he was almost.
Well, this is kind of your spot. Like the Rays, like you're not supposed to go in with like expectations. Right. It's just supposed to like occur.
That's why I'm comfortable.
Yeah, like you're just supposed to like steady grind and get there. Win 2-1
games. And when we traded Snow, we got this guy Luis Patino from them, who could be. Speaking of the mic, Billy,
the battle of Anton with the mic is fucking unreal,
never ending.
So I'll get into so World Series predictions all around the table. Who's playing you? Who's playing who? And who's gonna win? I'll start with mine. Everyone's talking about the Dodgers. Not enough people are talking about the San Diego Padres.
No, you fuck. That was mine.
Well, that's fine. It's two yours.
They have to play a team.
Yeah. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr., you got Manny Machado, you know, Blake Snell just coming on to join the squad.
Oh, that's where he went. I was going to ask. Yeah,
Eric
Snow
Hosmer
after,
is Captain America. Like, this team is, I mean, they're being talked about very aggressively this year, but I think this year is the year they finally get through it. And, you know, the Dodgers, it's going to come down to a tough playoff series. The Dodgers just picked up Trevor Bauer. That team's even better, I think, going into this year. But, you know, it all happens in October. You can win, you can lose all these games. I mean, that they're allowing more teams, and then we'll be postseason now. I mean, the Red Sox still won't be there, but there'll be teams getting in the playoffs. I think the Padres have a great chance to get to the World Series. And you know what, still, you're going to be surprised by this. I don't think anyone is good in the AL. I think the Yankees are going to be in the World Series by default, and they're going to lose. I think Padres in five.
I like that. Sure I'll go do. With my I'm yeah. Sure I'll go Padres versus fucking. I hope the Rays make it again. I do. I'm actually on the way. I'm a big Rays guy. I'm a Randy. Rays guy. They were really fun to watch last year.
Oh, so fun! But you know that will never happen again.
Yeah, that's their whole thing. Is like
they
do
flew
it
too
once.
Close to the sun. They flew a little too close. Yeah. You might be right, but yeah, Padres.
Yeah, I mean,
coming for you.
What did I pick last year? The Reds, White Sox. I was kind of on the right path. They were both
made
the playoffs.
They both made the playoffs.
Yeah,
they both
sure, absolutely.
Strategy.
I mean, this year, the Dodgers, they had a Trevor Bauer. The guy's a fucking psychopath. That team is stacked. They brought back Turner. I think the only other team that can compete with them is the Braves, who brought back, you know, Ozuna. Acuna's another year in. They have Albies. They're stacked. The Padres, obviously. And then the Cardinals, those are the top four teams. They're going to be – it's a bloodbath. I mean, that NL Central is just fucking just the best division in base – the best division in the history of baseball, I would almost go as far Damn. As to say. It's just going to be just beating each other down. So, I mean, by the time you get there, maybe they're going to be tired because they're going to have to be throwing pitchers. I do think the World Series, the AL – whoever wins the pennant in the AL – comes out of the West. I mean, Mike Trout's still there. We don't forget him.
Maybe he'll win a playoff series once.
Yeah, I mean, the AL's very, very down. The Central's still pretty good. The White Sox, they just lost Eloy Jimenez. Big, big, big loss for a couple of months.
How long is he out for? Months?
Like 5 or 6 months.
That was also the Yikes. Big thing I'm going to bring up. It's like Max Kellerman says, like, that like Brady's going to fall off a cliff and eventually happens. I think I say every year, like, the Angels and Mike Trout are finally going to figure it out. I think this year is the year.
And so does
that last year. Yeah, the year before.
I think we're on like year 10. Yeah, I've been there with you.
I mean, nobody's ever addressed the drug problem with the Angels. It just went away. And that's kind of fucked up because that means there's a real problem.
What kind of drugs?
The guy died. Who was his fucking name?
Oh, yeah.
Skaggs.
He was a good pitcher.
R.I.P.
And they uncovered a huge drug thing that just you never heard about.
On to the next one.
We should do a podcast about sports conspiracies, like Michael Jordan and his gambling habits.
I'm in.
Oh.
I'm in.
Yankees over the Braves. Yankees in five, maybe six.
How many years? I mean, if we had this podcast like the last 5 years, would you say the Yankees
five.
Win every time?
Yes.
All time? And they still
it's
have...
Not, no, it's it, wouldn't, it wouldn't have gone. It wouldn't have gone back to, like, 2013 and shit when, like, the best player was, like, a 40-year-old Carlos Beltran. But, like, since, like, Judge, Sanchez and them have come up, like, since 2017 when they literally were a game away from the World Series, all of those years I would have picked them to win, yes. And I have been pretty close every single time. Close, I guess not there.
So, got Yankees, Padres. Mike over Andrew.
Twins.
Of course.
All right.
Be the diva.
What's wrong with the Twins? Their lineup's stacked.
They're first round losers.
Miguel Sano.
They can't beat them. They have the yips, but I mean, eventually you got to get over it.
No, Oakland never has.
Yeah, Oakland's on like year 50.
Yeah. Moving on. Did everyone watch UFC 260 here?
No.
I wish.
Okay. Yep.
We were gonna, but we got caught up in darts.
Okay.
Well, I'll share
a quick thing. So Francis Ngannou knocks out Stipe Miocic in the second round. It was pretty gruesome. Francis Ngannou, now heavyweight champion of the world. John Jones comes into play, and all of a sudden, this looks like it could be the UFC fight of the century.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It should be. I mean, great as John Jones is, that right hook from Ngannou's taken down whatever is in front of him.
No, like, that's the fact that John Jones is probably going to be an underdog in a fight is sickening. It might be one of the craziest things I've ever seen in, like, a sports book, like, in my life.
It's there, though. He's coming up a weight class, and Ngannou's in, like, a weight class of his own. He had, like, 30 pounds on Miocic. He'll probably have 30 pounds on John Jones.
Would you rather get hit by a truck or hit by a punch?
I mean, a punch.
I don't know, dude.
About it from Ngannou? I don't know,
the fact you got to think about it, yeah. Dude, those guys just getting, like, the last, like, five guys he's knocked out, and most of them in the first round, like, the other day was second round. It is, like, deadly. I'm surprised none of them died.
His defense against Stipe bringing him down too was amazing. Because I thought if Ngannou won, it's because he just fucking clocked him. He literally beat the piss out of him.
He's just like a shitty boxer. You know what I mean? That just has all that power.
Yeah, but like that's not what happened. No. Like he kicked his ass.
Yeah, he actually used some mixed martial arts.
Is Jones okay to fight? Is Dana gonna allow this?
I believe so. It's not set up or anything, I think that's definitely the next one, and that will be like a Khabib McGregor type, you know, office type fight. You know, I'll be an all-timer.
Shout out that guy O'Malley. That's his last
O'Malley's
name,
back, yeah. O'Malley's back.
I did see his highlights.
He got very cocky. He thought he knocked him out and he started running away. The guy got back. I mean, given that guy Almeida.
He fought very well. He came back.
He got got knocked out probably like three times and just kept going.
Very tough guy. He was like a good chin on that guy.
Like he had zero chance winning, and like you know what? At the end, I was still convinced this guy might have a chance.
Wildly mean punch to finish that.
Yeah.
Just kind of stared him down and was like, "I'm gonna fucking do it."
We won't even talk about the Tyrone Woodley fight because we all knew that was gonna happen. He just got like knocked out in like 20 seconds.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Moving on, our last thing we'll talk about, unless anyone wants to bring up, so, you know, some horse talk or something like that. NCAA March Madness. You know, we're almost to the end here. We got Baylor and Houston is the first session of the Final Four. And then we have this Tuesday night we're here. So we have Gonzaga has a 20-point lead over USC. And then Michigan plays later tonight over UCLA. I think the Zags are going to move on. And I think they're going to play Michigan or UCLA. Who do you guys like in the finals and who do you got to win? I'll start here. The best two teams in the country. It's been all year. It's been Gonzaga, and then it's been Baylor, 1-2. And every time this tournament, I've been like, okay, Baylor's finally going to choke. I think Baylor has the most NBA-type talent on their team. So I'm going to take Baylor with an upset over Gonzaga in the finals of the Final Four.
I think Gonzaga is the greatest college team in the history of college basketball, and COVID ruined the love and joy for us. And they win by 20 again because – I had Creighton plus 13.5 last week. they lost by 25.
Yeah,
then, they're winning by 20 again. I mean, they're not going to not win by 20 against the team. I think they could beat fucking, I don't know, who's even the worst team in the NBA right now? COVID has ruined sports. It's like, I would know that typically. And it's probably like a...
Yeah, we get it, fuck COVID.
Yeah, but I mean Gonzaga by 20 over. I don't give a shit.
I want the winner of Michigan UCLA to win it all. Whoever wins that game.
Want. Who do you think's gonna win?
I think fucking let's ride UCLA. Give me the Cinderella.
UCLA 11. Oh
yeah, why not, dude? Fuck Gonzaga.
If the Zags cover the 7-point spread tonight, I'm putting that house on UCLA money line. Gotta let it rip. I think they already won. I think I already won big money.
Dogs.
This comes out like Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough listen. If shit hits the fan for the Sags.
Who you got, Magic Mike? Want me to give you a list of the teams?
Oh, no, no. I know the team.
Okay.
I haven't watched Michigan play yet. They're like the one I haven't seen.
Hey, maybe we'll watch it tonight. Maybe we'll go to the pub after.
Yeah, we could get some scouting in. Barring how Michigan looks tonight, I don't know. I want Michigan to win. I always like was a Michigan fan.
Oh,
always.
Yeah. Tom Brady, Dave Portnoy, boom.
That, yeah, and I like the M on the hat. Looked like it was Magic. My hat, you know, Mike. Yep. Mike. I always a Michigan.
My name's Matt. I never once in my life.
I bought the Michigan hat for the M.
You should try to sue them and be like copyright infringement. Like that's my name.
Copyright in the works, by the way. Can't vote the details, but
stay tuned.
I have a lawyer.
What is that? Back to neutral.
Well, now we got it. Now we're thanks in, for now giving we're that in one
up. Cut that, Shlomo.
I don't think anyone could hear it over the burp, but yeah. I'm going Michigan, yeah. And we can go scout them after this, yes.
That'd be fun. Folks, wanted to thank you for tuning in, as well as Boston Globe's Jim McBride for coming on the pod. Appreciate, you know, Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, now a new official partner, sponsor of Steel and Naz. Big shout out to Craig Kelly. Runs a great program over there in Braintree. You know, I'll be looking for that spot because, you know, I'm fat. I need to lose some weight there.
It's summer's coming. Summer is coming.
3-minute walk from my house. I have to go there. Like, I have to at least pop in, throw up.
Throw up
and, like, be like, hey, I tried, man. Yeah.
Take a Snapchat and fuck off.
Your next Rough and Rowdy appearance, you'll be
I
got to
get working. I think it's fucking in, like, 23 days.
That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Have a great week out there, everybody. Be safe out there. One love.